Hey, welcome back, everybody, and get ready for a terrifying story. Tonight, we are diving into this story about this gesture guy who hands out flyers for this amazing deal trip to some island off Amsterdam or something like that, right? And the main character somehow gets talked into this fabulous deal. But they kind of have to go as a group, right? It's not a single package deal. So she talks her friends, Chloe and Tyler, into going with her. And at first, everything is great. But then all hell breaks loose. Stay tuned, and we're going to rate this story and give our 2 cents at the end of this. Let's get spooky. A couple of years ago, I saw a guy wearing a jester costume as I was walking home. It wasn't creepy, just very awkward. He was holding a stack of leaflets, trying to hand them to people who were clearly avoiding eye contact. It was too colorful and over the top. The whole thing just screamed try hard. I almost walked past him like everyone else, but then he stepped in front of me and held one out.
Hey, 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 step right in. The fun starts when you arrive at Blue Carnival Island, he said in a goofy voice.
I frowned at him. Sorry, he said quickly, dropping the voice immediately. I know it looks weird. If I don't hit a sign-up quota, they'll make me wear the hat, too.
He cringed slightly. I looked down at the leaflet.
Blue Carnival Island Experience, sponsored by... The logo of an energy company sat beneath the title.
A holiday? I said.
Yeah, he smiled, still a little embarrassed. Group trip package. Got flights, accommodation, the whole thing. It's actually really good, to be honest.
You don't sound convincing.
I'm better when people don't look directly at me, he said with a grimace. Ruins the illusion.
Then he smiled. Not a ridiculous smile this time, just normal. I laughed, despite myself. And we continued talking on the street for longer than I expected. We started texting that night. His name was Matt, and he was very nice to talk to. At first, we just made jokes about the costume. Then it turned into longer conversations, hobbies, life, all sorts of stuff. A few days later, we met up again in town. He wasn't wearing the costume, and I couldn't help noticing he was actually pretty good looking without all the powder and makeup. We talked over lunch for a while, and as we were finishing up, he asked if I had given any more thought to the trip.
I do need to get paid, remember? No pressure. He grinned.
After a bit more banter, I finally asked him for the actual details. And he began explaining the arrangements.
I get a bonus if the group stays together, he said at one point.
That's, kind of the whole thing.
He hesitated for a second.
It's a structured experience.
Probably just one of those all-inclusive trips where you meet new people and end up staying in the same hotel, I thought. A week later, I signed up. My friends Chloe and Tyler were coming too. I convinced them it would just be something we could post about after and laugh over drinks. When we arrived at the bus station, I was surprised to see about 60 of us, possibly more. There were families, couples, and a few older people. Matt arrived in full costume, bouncing between people, high-fiving kids and hyping everyone up. It all felt fun at the time. Then when he caught my eye in that dumb costume again, he smiled in a way that made everything else blur out for a second. "Sarah, you made it," he said when he got close. "Of course, I'm your best recruit." "Not even remotely true," he smirked, "but I'll pretend it is." Before boarding, he gathered everyone together. "All right, everyone, just one thing," Matt said, clapping his hands lightly. "When we get there, it's really important that you stay with the group. Don't wander off on your own."
"Why?" someone asked.
He hesitated just for a second.
"Wouldn't want anyone getting lost." Everything was normal until Amsterdam. The flight to the island was delayed overnight. Matt handled it almost instantly, booking hotels, reorganizing transport, and keeping everyone calm. I had to admit it was impressive, if anything. Chloe joked that he should quit and get a real job. He just laughed it off nonchalantly. At the hotel, everything felt like a temporary inconvenience. People were drinking in the lobby, making the best of it. I went to see Matt. His room was almost empty. There was no suitcase and no clothing scattered around, just a bag on the chair. "You sure travel light," I said.
"I don't stay in one place long," he replied with a grin.
I laughed at that, and we continued talking in his room until the sun went down. That night, I woke up to knocking on my hotel door. Loud, urgent. I blinked as I opened it, still half asleep. Matt was standing there, but not like before. No costume, and he wasn't smiling either. He looked pale and tense. "You need to leave," he said firmly. Something was very wrong. "What?" "I've booked you on a flight. It leaves in an hour. You need to go, now." He shoved a plane ticket into my hand. I just stared at him. "What are you talking about? What about everyone else?" "I'll handle it." "No, Matt. What's going on?" He stepped closer and looked in my eyes, shaking his head. "Sarah, I don't have time to explain. You just have to trust me." "Then tell Chloe and Tyler." "I said I'll handle it." Silence. My heart pounded. He just looked at me like he was trying to memorize something. Then he kissed me. Not gently or slowly. Desperately. "Just please go," he said quietly. I wish I could say that I argued with him and demanded answers, but I didn't. Something in his voice had changed. The easy, joking tone he normally spoke with was replaced by a terrified urgency. I packed quickly, hands shaking. The hotel room suddenly felt unfamiliar, and every sound in the hallway made me flinch. The airport felt too bright and normal when I went back in. I moved through as fast as I could, checking my phone every few minutes, waiting for a message from Matt explaining what was going on. Nothing came. On the flight home, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw his face at the door. He looked like he was trying to hold something back. I kept replaying it in my head, trying to figure out what he hadn't said. When I got home, my family asked why I was back from the trip early. I told them I was feeling ill and decided to cancel, the easiest explanation. I text Chloe and Tyler too, telling them the same thing. For a moment, I worried they wouldn't reply, my mind jumping to worst-case scenarios. But then both of them messaged back a day later, telling me to get better soon. Chloe texted again after a few days. Made it. Island is amazing. You missed out. Hope you're feeling better now. I was confused. Everything seemed normal after they got back. But the look on Matt's face that night certainly wasn't. For a while, I just let it sit. I really didn't know what to make of it. Matt and I stopped texting after that night, and I didn't reach out either. I wouldn't have known what to even say, even if I had tried. Chloe and Tyler kept asking about Matt, but I brushed it off every time. They probably thought that we had an arrangement at the hotel or something of that sort. I didn't know how to explain what really happened there, so I didn't. Then, a few weeks later, something began to feel off about Chloe. Not enough to point at, just small things. She laughed at the wrong moments and forgot details she shouldn't have. I only noticed because I had known her for years. Tyler's change was more noticeable. He was still him, just quieter and flatter in general. At one point, I mentioned something that had happened years ago, something all three of us had been there for. Chloe hesitated. Then she smiled and said, "Oh yeah, that." But it wasn't right. It wasn't how she used to remember things. But I couldn't put my finger on it, so I tried to disregard it and move on. The weeks passed. Then months. Nothing felt too out of the ordinary, at least nothing that I could point at yet, until one night at Chloe's. We were in her kitchen cooking like we used to. She was talking about something, but I wasn't really listening. I was watching her. I had caught myself doing that a lot lately, looking for something I couldn't quite name. Then, mid-sentence, she falters. Just slightly at first. She repeated a word like she had lost her place. Then her eyes rolled back. Not naturally. Not like someone fainting or blinking too hard. They spun fast and unnatural until there was nothing but white. For a second, that's all I could see. Two blank whites staring straight through me. I screamed. And then, just like that, they snapped back. She blinked a few times, looking confused. "Sarah, oh my gosh, are you okay?" I couldn't speak. I just stared at her, my heart pounding so hard it hurt. I took a step back without meaning to. I thought... I stopped myself. What was I going to say? After a few moments, she laughed it off. Said she felt dizzy for a second. Low blood pressure or something. Everything seemed normal again, so I nodded and pretended to accept it. Then we went back to cooking. But my hands wouldn't stop shaking because I knew I hadn't imagined it. And deep down, I already knew there was only one person who could explain it. I called Matt that night. It had been months since that night in the hotel, and I was surprised he even answered. At first, he avoided it, tried to brush it off, asked if I was sure or if maybe I'd been tired. but there was something in my voice that gave me away. After a pause, he sighed.
Can we meet?
He said.
I'll explain properly.
He came over later that evening. No small talk, no easing into it. The second he stepped inside, I turned to him. What happened on that island? He sat down and didn't answer straight away. But when he did, his voice was calm. Too calm. Do you believe that there are other versions of you, Sarah? He asked. Not really. That's fair, he said. Most people don't. He looked at me. But there are versions where your life goes differently, depending on what decisions you make, right? Sure, I nodded. He took a breath, then continued. Some changes are small. You might end up with a different haircut. Others are bigger. You might live in a different place. I frowned, but kept listening. And some of those versions of you are not okay. My blood ran cold. They suffered, he continued, in ways you can't imagine. Matt, why are you telling me this? Because you need to understand what I did. What you did? He met my eyes. The island. It's where they switch people. Silence. I waited for a punchline, but there was none. The version of you that goes there doesn't come back. I swallowed. That is not funny. But his face was dead serious. Silence stretched between us again. Then where are they? I finally said quieter. Somewhere worse. Much worse. And the people who came back? I whispered. They're from those other places. And not just any of those places. They're from versions of you that have suffered the most. No. They take different versions of them from other timelines, he continued, and swap them. Then they replace their memories so it all fits. That's insane. I know. He didn't sound phased at all. I stood there frozen. Still trying to process all of it. But why? He paused and looked away for a second, like he was deciding how much to say. Because every time it happens, it generates energy, he said. A lot of it, more than anyone else has ever found. And you, what, work for them? He nodded. Why would you tell me this? My voice cracked. Because I couldn't send you there. That hit harder than anything else. For a moment, he didn't say anything. He just exhaled slowly, like he had been holding it in for a long time. I wasn't always part of this, he said. I was on a trip in Thailand a few years ago, backpacking. One night I got taken, wrong place, wrong time. No idea who they were. I just remember the pain, the blood, the screaming. It went on for weeks. Every day, from morning till night. He paused, as if recalling the horror of it. And then one day it just stopped. He continued. Not gradually. All of a sudden, it was just gone, and I woke up somewhere else. Clean, no injuries or pain. Where? I asked quietly. A facility, he said. Rooms full of people. They were unconscious, lying on beds. I thought it was a hospital at first.
He shook his head.
One of the staff came over and explained it like it was nothing. Said those people were being processed. Their memories were being replaced, so they'd match the versions of themselves from this world.
I stared at him.
They told me what had happened, he went on. That I had been switched. The version of me that belonged here had gone to the island for the holiday. I took his place.
My throat felt dry.
And they just told you that?
They didn't care if I believed it, he said. They gave me a choice.
He paused briefly. I could have my memories replaced like those people, live this version of my life like nothing ever happened, or I could keep my memories and know the truth.
And you chose? I began.
I chose to remember, he said. But it came with a condition.
He rubbed his forehead.
I had to work for them, he continued. Recruitment. Minimum of 10 people every cycle.
Why you?
I asked the same thing, he said. They said I scored high on emotional intelligence and communication, and that I was mentally stable enough to function after what I had been through.
He gave a humorless smile.
Apparently that's rare.
A chill ran through me. What I'd once found so enduring and real. His awkwardness, the way he stumbled over words. I couldn't help but question how much of it had ever actually been real.
And if you don't? I asked. If I don't meet the quota? He said. I'm fired. That means they wipe my memories. Replace them with the ones from the version that was here. The one who was sent to Thailand in my place.
Silence settled between us.
So either I do this, he said quietly, or I let them take it all away and go back to not knowing any of this, like your friends.
Then it all came rushing back. Chloe hesitating over memories she should have known instantly. Tyler reacting just a second too late. All the little things I tried to ignore because they didn't make sense on their own. But together, they did. They weren't them. I was looking at something wearing their faces, carrying their memories, while the real Tyler and Chloe had been sent to somewhere far worse. It was my fault. I had convinced them to go. And if Matt hadn't told me to leave that night, that would have been me too. A cold, sinking feeling settled in my chest as another thought followed it. If you didn't meet the quota, I said slowly, then your memories are replaced. That would make me the only one left who knew. And even then, would it matter? I believed Matt because of everything I had seen, the way that night played out, the look on his face, and the things I had noticed afterward, the way Chloe's eyes went completely white. I thought about trying to explain all of this to anyone else. My family, the fake Chloe and Tyler, anyone at all. But I already knew how it would sound. Insane. No one would believe me.
I looked at him.
How many people? I asked quietly. How many had been switched?
I don't know, he said.
Then he looked back at me. But it's more than you think. That was the last time we really talked about it like that. After a while, it stopped being something we discussed and preferred to avoid. Life went on, and eventually, we got together. If I'm being honest,
I don't feel safe anymore without him. He was the only one who understood what had happened. The only one who knew. Nowadays, we still go to work, see friends, make plans. We still do everything we did before. I still see him come home in that jester costume. But it doesn't look ridiculous, or even remotely funny anymore. Sometimes things start to feel normal again. I think we both try to believe that. As long as he meets that sales quota, which he always does, nothing changes. He's still my Matt. The same Matt I met that night handing out flyers. And he'll keep meeting it. He has to. Well, well, well. That ending was definitely not what I had in mind. First of all, for her to like be dating Matt after everything that had happened, knowing damn well Matt isn't even the real Matt from this universe or reality, whatever. They're a bunch of like doppelgangers or something. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Some island where they take another version of you from a different dimension that's been tortured and they swap places. That's insane. I was not expecting that at all whatsoever. Overall, I think it was a pretty cool story. It wasn't the scariest, but it was very entertaining. And I've heard about doppelgangers before and, you know, different realities and dimensions. And to some degree, I kind of believe in it. But damn. I feel sorry for Chloe and Tyler because they'll never know. And there's no way to get the real ones back. Or is there? Let me know down in the comments below what you thought of the story. What you like, what you didn't like, what you think should have happened. Should there be a part two? Should they go back to the island? You know, save her friends? Have a good night.